You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. Welcome to the show. As always, we have a great one for you today. And if you're a regular listener, you know that my show is usually about relationships, and I try to help you understand yourselves and why you think or react the way you do with other people in your lives. And today we're going to get some real expert help as well. And my guest is going to help you understand how to find and keep loving relationships. We all want to do that, right? Sure we do. And I invite you to call in as well, if you'd like, at 323-203-0815. If you have any questions or comments, you have any questions for my guest, we'll go for it. And, of course, as always, you can email me at the email address that is hooked up right here to the radio station, docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. That's Michelle with two L's. And, of course, instant questions will come up, and hopefully my guest and I will try to answer them for you as well. Well, you know, many relationship experts offer advice that say your happiness is something that should come from within, right? This is the whole new thing. It shouldn't be dependent on your lover or mate. Dependence is a bad word. That's a dirty word. According to a lot of contemporary theories, of course. Supposedly we have no choice. We have no choice. We have to be dependent on people because of certain physiological factors. We're talking psychology as well, but these are physiological things that are kicking in right now when we couple with someone. Well, my guest today is a fabulous author, Dr. Amir Levine. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, it's good to be here.
It's great to have you today. Now, you have your new book out, which is Attached: The New Science of Adult Attachment and how it can help you find and keep love. Now, everybody wants to know how to do that, which is, you know, this is what it's all about in our world. And
yes,
this is why you and I stay in business, though, is because so many people don't know how to have healthy relationships or understand what really is going on. You know,
I mean, on the one, because, you know, on the one hand, our relationships are one of the most important things in our lives. It
yeah.
really determines not only our psychological well-being, but as you said initially, also people don't know that, but it also really determines a lot our physiological well-being.
Right.
So, I mean, people, there's some studies that show that if you're in a good relationship, then if you get a cut, it will heal faster.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in such good relationship, it'll take it longer to heal.
Right.
And it really, it's like people think about being healthy as eating your vegetables and exercising, but actually being in a good relationship carries tremendous. It's actually really good for your physical health, not only just your psychological health.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite astounding. So that being said, and as you said, that.
Right.
Really crucial that we become dependent on someone else. We don't have a choice.
We
choose someone else, we become dependent on them.
We don't have a choice.
Don't have a choice.
Tell me more about that. Why don't we have a choice?
Because apparently, I mean, this whole idea of attachment, so this whole idea is that we've been programmed through evolution to choose someone else from the crowd and make them special and unique and important to us.
Right.
So there was a huge survival advantage to basically coupling up with someone and sort of letting them in and becoming like almost one physiological unit.
Mm-hmm.
So those who paired up survive, survived, and those who didn't pair up ended up as, I don't know, like tiger food, basically.
Right.
So basically the advantage wasn't so much to, oh, I can take it or leave it. If you're here, it's good, and if you're not here, it's not good. No, the advantage was it such that if you're not going to, once I choose you, if you're not around me and I don't know where you are, I'm going to feel very uncomfortable, and I'm going to engage in what we call protest behavior to make sure that you notice me, that you become available,
right,
and that you're going to be there. Because if not, I feel danger and threat. Because in primeval times, in ancient times, mm-hmm, it really used to be dangerous,
yes,
to just be on your own.
Right.
So our emotional brains, even though, I mean, we live nowadays with laptops and
yes,
21st century, but our emotional brains are still very much wired in that way of perceiving not having our attachment or the
right
person that we choose next to us as huge danger.
That makes a lot of sense. We still have the survival instinct and probably always will, actually.
Right, and you know, you can see it. You remember, you can see, every once in a while, I read it in the paper. Like, I remember the last time I read something was, mm-hmm, about a woman who was chasing, like in India, who chased a tiger with a soup ladle
right,
to defend her husband.
Right.
And also, I don't know if you remember, like with Rupert Murdoch, when he, like,
yes,
someone was trying to throw a pie in his face,
right,
and his wife sort of launched on and sort of, like, basically punched him in the face and pushed him over.
There you go.
So that's like, that's what I mean. That's like attachment in action. Like, you have someone there who's there to defend you and can, will do, like, will really put themselves in danger in order to make sure that you're okay.
Right. I'm sort of jumping ahead here with this question because I want to go back to how you apply your theory to attachment theory. And we can talk about
right
that. Bowlby started out with those experiments so long ago, and they were fabulous before we had some physiological evidence as to what's going on in the brain when
right
we're attached to someone. But you talk about the wonderful women who run down the street after the tiger to defend their husband with
right
a soup ladle or whatever. And what happens if we get into a relationship with someone where we're always fighting? I mean, we're coupled and we stay together, but we're both very neurotic, and we love to argue and scream, and that's that chemical addiction that we have in our brains as well. Isn't that, that's coupling, and that's dependency, but isn't that unhealthy, Dr. Levine?
So the thing is, what we really talk about in the book, and so what we're trying to get to is that, so if we actually come to the conclusion that dependence is crucial,
mm-hmm,
it becomes really, and it's like, it's just like a, it's a biological fact. It's not even, it's crucial. It's just like, we can't, this is just a fact, and it becomes crucial to choose the right person to depend on. Because we want to find, I mentioned to you, it's really important to be in the right relationship, the health benefits, the psychological benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that if you understand that science has an answer to how you can find someone that
yes
would be actually good for you, and maybe you don't have to get into all these fights,
yes,
and it turns out that it has to do a lot with your attachment styles. And there are three different attachment styles. There's the anxious, avoidant, and secure. And if
mm-hmm
I will, once I will explain to you
yeah
the attachment styles, then I can also explain to you there's different types of fighting. But once we understand that, we can understand,
right,
like, what do I mean when I say that there's different types of fighting?
I'd love to find out more about that. And folks, in case you just tuned in here, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today is Dr. Amir Levine. He is a psychiatrist, neuroscientist, and of course, author of the latest book, Attached: The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. Now, this is a science, people, we're talking about. If you would like to email us and ask any questions, you can do so immediately at docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And, of course, you can call us live on the air if you have a question. And that is 323 here in the Los Angeles area, 203-0815. So we're talking about attachment theory, and let's kind of jump into that. There was a gentleman by the name of John Bowlby, and he kind of understood that our need for somebody to share our lives with is part of our genetic makeup, and really not much to do with how much we love ourselves or how fulfilled we feel on our own, but he performed attachment theory experiments on people. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, Dr. Levine?
Right, so he was Bowlby who first sort of made a, it was a huge discovery at the time, basically saying there are basically saying that our need to attach to someone is just a basic need, just as much as in food and water. People didn't know that at the time, but it turns out that people who, like kids who grow up without major attachments, even if they get their food and water, they fail to thrive. It's just really, it's just a basic need. And so, and then his collaborator and also student, Mary Ainsworth, took it a step further. And what she did, she invented this test that's called the strained situation test. And in the strained situation test, what you have is like you have a, so we're, now we're talking about attachments within between mothers and kids. And their toddlers. And so you take a mother and her one-year-old and you put them in a room full of toys, and there's also the research assistant there. And typically the one-year-old will look around and see the toys and start playing with all the toys. But then they ask the mother to leave for a moment, and so she leaves the room. And the toddler would sort of drop his toys right away and he would run to the door and starts banging on the door, calling for his mom. And if the research assistant tries to give him a toy, he'll just throw it in her face. He's not interested anymore. Then when the mother comes back, they reunite. And depending on the style of their reunion, Mary Ainsworth found that they actually do it in three different styles, in anxious, avoidant, and secure. So then you fast forward to 87, and two other researchers, Philip Shaver and C.D. Hazen, they actually decided to see if the way that children attach to their caregivers, to their mothers and fathers, is it those styles, do they also hold up in our romantic relationships? Do we also attach in an anxious way, secure or avoidant way to our significant others? And it turned out that it, we do. And since then, there have been like an explosion of studies looking at the anxious, the avoidant, and the secure, and what sort of their like their world beliefs and how do they get along with one another. So basically, if you have an anxious, it also has to do with how comfortable you feel with intimacy and closeness. So if you are have an anxious attachment style, you love to be close, you love to be intimate, but you also tend to worry a lot about not being loved back.
And this is from the way possibly you were treated by your caregivers, how you responded to them or how they responded to you as a child.
So some of it was by the way that you were treated by your caregivers, and some of it I think may also have a genetic component, and some of it also is shaped by how you were treated later on in either in other relationships as an adult or other relationships as a teenager. So we tend to change, and that's another point that I'm going to get to, that people can also change their attachment styles.
That's great. Good news.
Yeah, no, I know. This is really good news. So then the second attachment style, the secure attachment style, we talked about the anxious, is someone who people who love to be close and intimate, just like the anxious, but unlike the anxious, they don't tend to worry so much about their not being loved back or about their relationships. They're not as sensitive to little things that happen in their relationship. So that's the secure.
That's a good place to be, sort of, right?
The secure is amazing.
Okay.
We love the secures in this world, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So then the avoidance are people who also want to be in a relationship because we've established that we, it's also like it's a basic need that we all have. But something funny happens when they get into a relationship. They don't feel too comfortable with too much closeness. So once they, you get close to them, they start to push you away. They keep you at arm's length, and they tend to see relationship as something that may interfere with their independence. They have a hard time sharing things and with a partner.
So they're a little more withdrawn.
So if you understand, and so now if you take these three attachment styles and you first of all understand what attachment style you are and understand what attachment styles other people are, it really gives you like a roadmap to how to manage relationships. Both romantic relationships, but also with friends and at work, by the way.
Well, you know, a lot of people are in denial, or many times we don't know who we are or how we react to others. It's not a bad thing. It's just sort of the way things roll sometimes. So how can we find out which attachment style we have? I mean, people can say, oh, you're so withdrawn. No, I'm not. You know, we see this all the time.
Right, no, no, of course. So I think one of the ways, first of all, we've sort of designed, and there are other quiz, but we've designed a quiz that we actually have it on our website, for the book's website, called attachthebook.com. So you can actually take a quiz and find out what your attachment style is.
Great.
And then also we have a quiz in the book about what other people, how you can tell other people's attachment styles.
That's a great
But beyond
thing.
That, we really go into great length in the book to teach people the language of attachment,
mm-hmm.
to really teach them how to identify their attachment styles and other people's attachment styles, because
mm-hmm.
this is,
mm-hmm.
it's not just something that, again, we made up. This is really hardcore science
mm-hmm.
that we can now use for people that now can use in everyday life to better their relationships.
So we can see someone who is pretty much secure, right? Loves to be close
right.
and is pretty okay about people coming to them, and they're more self-confident seemingly.
Right.
We can see someone who is secure and someone who picks an anxious person who is secure possibly. Or we can see an avoidant person picking a secure person, right?
Right, so you know, a lot of it is sometimes it's a matter of also luck, right? But apparently, it turns out that it's not only luck, that there is also differences in preferences. But at the end of the day, if you look, there's one particular combination that is very, very problematic and that really is the source of a lot of drama in relationships.
Right.
When you were mentioning all the fighting and the bickering. And that's the combination of the anxious and the avoidant.
Mm.
Because as I mentioned before, one loves to be very intimate and close, but they also worry a lot about not being loved back, and they're very sensitive to the person trying to sort of create distance in the relationship. And yet the avoidant, they want to be in the relationship, but they also want to create a lot of distance in their relationship.
Right.
And so then it creates a lot of like this push-pull
mm-hmm.
kind of interaction between a couple, and they tend to be to report being less satisfied and not as happy in their relationship over time.
You know, this is a great theory because people can understand more about themselves. I see a lot of people who now I realize being anxious and avoidant who come to see me as couples.
Right.
And it's a cyclic thing. Constantly they're arguing back and forth. Well, you pull away from me and you're too dramatic and you're too pushy. You're too controlling. Well, you play games with me and close the door and walk away. It's a constant, and you're trying to get each other to understand, you know, the personality types. But if you really come from a, what kind of attachment style do you have, and maybe understand where it came from, you can understand each other better and give each other more slack. Right.
And I think that the one thing for people who are anxious
mm-hmm.
is the thing that really is very helpful for them, once they understand that, let's say they're with someone avoidant, is to know that it's really not about them. Usually people are anxious.
Yes.
They tend to make it all about them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to, because, you know, when you feel that the other person doesn't want to be as close, you feel rejected, and it can be very painful. But
mm-hmm.
if you understand that this is kind of like their makeup, and it's not
yeah.
that something, it's not that you're not lovable, but it's just like they, and that they do want to be with you, but just a more of a distance. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all okay. It's still difficult for someone
mm-hmm.
who's anxious,
mm-hmm.
but it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start to sort of work towards becoming more secure.
Wow, that sure makes a lot of sense, you know. By the way, in case you just tuned in, you are on the couch here with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, and my special guest today, psychiatrist and neuroscientist Dr. Amir Levine. His latest book, along with Rachel Heller, is entitled Attached, The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. And that's what we all want to know, right? And this is the pop
right.
psychology going on today as well.
Right. So, you know, I like the whole part of finding love
mm-hmm.
because for people who are single, I mean, it's very useful for people who are in a relationship.
Right.
But it's even more crucial for people who are single and who
yes.
are dating, because
yes.
you have a chance here before you get into a relationship to find the right match for you
yes.
and to avoid sort of getting involved with someone who may not be a good match for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can mean a huge difference in your life, or like for many, many, many years.
It sure can. So if you sort of identify the type of attachment style you have, and you start falling for someone, or somebody's very interesting to you, but there are certain quirks about their personality and you don't understand what's going on, maybe you can analyze possibly the type they are and say, wait, is this going to be good for me? Or how should I go about this relationship in order to understand them better if I really want to stay with them?
And it becomes even trickier, because what happens is there are a few things that actually push people who are anxious and avoidant together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these things is that people believe that they need to play games in the beginning
oh,
when
yes.
they're dating.
Oh, yes.
And what we're actually saying is that you have to be, the more authentic you are and the more honest and forthcoming you are, the more of a chance for you to find someone who's more suitable for you. So let's say if you're going out on a date.
Right.
You have an because usually what happens, especially for people who are anxious, they don't want to tell the other person right off the bat, you know, I'm desperately looking for a relationship. They don't want to come across as being desperate.
Right.
So they play hard to get, they're not as interested, but do they end up attracting in such a way? Usually avoidant people who feel more confident. It's like, okay, I don't really need to commit too much. But then after they're in a relationship for a while, they've been dating for a while, mm-hmm. after several weeks or yeah. months, then the anxious person will come around and say, well, okay, now I'm changing the rules. Mm-hmm. I actually want a lot of closeness.
Right.
I want you to call me almost every day. I want you to be mm-hmm. in touch with me. I want that availability. I want that closeness. But guess what? The other person may not be able to give you what you want. So we really, what we tell people is that a lot of, and there's a lot of other books that kind of like really advocate playing games in the beginning of a relationship. And we said, no, you really, and actually I have an example. I think we wrote about her in the book, this woman that mm-hmm. Rachel and I know, that she was nearing 40 and she's been dating. She had some relationships but she's never gotten married. And she mm-hmm. decided, I want to get married and I want to have kids as soon as possible. I don't have a lot of time.
Right.
And so she started going out on dates, and the first date, date number one,
yes.
she would just tell the person, you know, I'm just looking to get married and have kids as soon as possible.
Ah! Wrong thing
and
to
lo
say.
And behold, she found someone who wanted the same thing.
Right.
He wanted to get married and have kids as soon as possible,
yes.
and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, so people really have a hard time with that. Like, oh, no, you actually maybe try just, like, saying what your needs are.
Yes. Yes, just right out there in front, because
right.
a lot of people are too afraid. Dr. Levine, we just got an email from Melissa in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and she asks the question, why am I always attracted to men who aren't good for me? What's
okay.
wrong? She says, what's wrong with me, and why do I do this?
Okay, I love this question.
Okay.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. What's the name? What's the name of the person who sent the email?
It says Melissa here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm so glad Melissa sent us this question. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's a really good question. And luckily, attachment science really has an answer.
Okay.
So I was actually going to just talk about that.
Great.
So one of the things is that people don't know how to present themselves early on to attract the right person.
Right.
And they don't know about also learning about the language of attachment, of identifying their own attachment style.
Right.
And going, finding someone who's good for them. And usually the best bet is to go with someone secure.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets a little bit more complicated, and that's what I think that would be the best answer for Melissa,
mm-hmm.
is that usually the other thing that happens, there's two things that I need to tell her. The other thing that happens is that people start to equate, especially people with an anxious attachment style,
right.
start to equate anxiety with love and with interest and excitement.
Right.
So what happens initially, if they go out on a date and the person doesn't call them back right away and it sort of takes about a week or 2 weeks to call back,
right.
and they're sitting tense by the phone waiting for a phone call, they learn, mistakenly so, to equate that anxiety and that sort of uncomfortable feeling
mm-hmm.
with excitement and passion.
That's very paradoxical, isn't it?
Where the fact is that it's really just anxiety.
Right. Right.
And secure people actually know that when you look at how secure people date, what usually happens if they go out with someone, remember, I think we even have that example in the book, when, remember, we interviewed this woman and
right.
she was saying, you know, I've dated maybe 11 men in my life.
Yes.
And I don't hold back, actually, I do, and she was very secure,
mm-hmm.
and I even have sex on the first date, and it's fine, but and then there were two men who didn't call me the next day.
Mm.
And I got disinterested. Like, if they didn't call me, it just
right.
meant to me that they were not good for me.
Right.
And I just, and so other people who are anxious were
right.
like, why aren't they calling me? And then all of a sudden, if they call them a week later, it's like, oh, they are interested. And they'll be sucked into the drama. But what we're telling people is that, no, don't mistake anxiety with love and interest and passion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's one thing. Then the other thing is, for someone like Melissa, I mean, I don't know what her attachment style is, but you have to also understand that people who are, because people oftentimes think what's wrong with them.
Right.
But there is a higher proportion of people, of avoidant people in the dating population, just because they tend to stay by themselves longer.
Mm-hmm.
And also they tend to, when they break up with someone, they tend to get recycled back into the dating pool much faster.
Right.
Than other people, because they also get over someone else very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have a bigger chance of meeting someone avoidant when you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know how to screen them, like if you're, especially if you're anxious, if you're insecure, it's okay. But if
yes.
you're anxious, it's so important to be able to screen them
mm-hmm.
and find something that's a better match for you.
Right. It sure makes a lot of sense. And thank you, Melissa, for emailing that. And if you would like to email a question to my guest today, psychiatrist, neuroscientist, and author, Dr. Amir Levine, you can do so at docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. And we're talking about attachment theories and how you can identify which type of attachment style you may have grown up with or experienced in your life and hung on to, and who might be best for you, how to understand your partner better, or how to understand if you're out there in the world looking for a relationship, how you work best with certain types. Dr. Levine, what is the ratio of different attachment styles? I mean, are there more secure people in the world or less secure, more anxious, or how does that work?
Right, so this is like the perfect news, like that actually the majority of people, both mm-hmm. men and women, are secure. More than 55% of people are secure.
Wow, that's really surprising to me. Why is that surprising?
I know, we like to call them the silent majority, because
right.
we tend to hear more about people who are insecure,
right.
because those who are secure are just busy having their secure lives.
Right. Right.
And those who are insecure, we tend to hear more. They have problems. They tend to complain more to their friends, to everyone around them. So you tend to hear about them more.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, like most people, both men and women are secure. And that's also another really important point mm-hmm. that I wanted to make.
Right.
That most people are actually, most people think about, equate masculinity with avoidance.
Right, right.
But it's actually not true at all. They think all men need their, like, men caves, and they can't really talk about their feelings too much.
Right.
But actually, this research really shows that there's a lot of men out there that are very comfortable talking about their feelings, that they don't need to sort of withdraw and push other people away, that are very, could be very close and intimate,
mm-hmm.
And are great communicators.
Yeah.
And so, but I think it's a problem, because I think women equate avoidance of masculinity, so
right.
when they meet a secure man, they think, oh, he's not as attractive, he's not as masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really like a very big myth that people need to understand.
It really is. It's worldwide. I mean,
exactly.
It really is amazing how we do and it's almost like in our society, at least, and I see a lot of young women who come and talk to me saying, I really like the bad boy who's quiet and mysterious.
What? Right, but then you see what
right.
we've actually, people have told us after reading about
right.
reading about attachment
mm-hmm.
is that once you understand about avoidance,
mm-hmm.
that whole, it really loses its mystique. It actually becomes so predictable and boring
right.
that you're just like, okay, another person who doesn't want to be close, who's going to play games. And really we tell people to, if they find someone secure,
mm-hmm.
in the process of writing this book, we really fell in love with the secures in this world. So they really, we like to call them the supermates of evolution.
Oh, great.
And we tell people that if you find someone who's secure, give it a little bit more time. Yeah, there maybe isn't that first initial anxiety and all that, so you're not wrapped around this whole thing, because they give you a lot of reassurance.
Right,
but
right.
just hang around and stay with them for a while, because you're going to have such an amazing life, because being in a secure relationship really puts you on a different trajectory in your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And there's a lot of coaching, which I love, in your book. It is therapy. It's coaching, and there are places where folks can really think about the way they think and assume things that are not correct, and journal and come up with their own ideas and learn from what you suggest. What are some of the things that people with that anxious attachment style can do to help them become, you know, healthy?
More secure.
Yeah.
Right. So the first thing, the easiest thing to become more secure, as you said, I've told you before, that people with attachment style, that
mm-hmm.
attachment styles, they're both, I mean, they're real entities, but they're also malleable. Like, we can mm-hmm. change them.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to change your attachment style is to, like, if you're anxious or if you're avoidant,
mm-hmm.
is to get together with someone who's secure.
Huh.
Because you wouldn't even have to work hard at it. It will happen almost by itself, really.
Wow.
Because it's like having a relationship coach built into the relationship.
Right, they're just modeling that behavior that's secure.
They will teach you how to, and not only that, I'll give you an example. For example, let's say your partner is going to the airport, and
mm-hmm.
you know that it's like there's bad weather, you're concerned about them, and if you're anxious, you really want to know what's going on. So you'll be texting them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say your partner is avoidant and he's busy, or she's busy, and they're looking at they're seeing that you're calling them, and it's like, oh, I can't believe I have to deal with him again. It's not enough that I have to deal with my work. I have to also reassure them.
Mm-hmm.
So they get upset. They hit ignore. They hit ignore. Then you try to call them a few more times. You're worried. You're upset.
Right.
They turn off the phone. By the time they come, they call you from their hotel in their when they get to their destination, you're fuming. You have a huge fight.
Right.
But let's suppose your partner is secure. So if they're secure, usually it's like, oh, I'm in the cab. They're probably worried about me. Let me just text them to let them know I'm okay. So they text you from the cab. They text you just before the plane takes off, and they text you when the plane lands.
Right.
And, you know, you're not even going to feel that anxiety.
Yes.
You will never come to be. You're going to be acting secure. And that's how they make you secure.
Yeah.
Because they know how to take care of your needs before even you know you have a need.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what they've shown also about secure mothers and children.
Yes.
It's not that the mothers of the secure mothers held their children more,
right.
But they seem to have known when their kids wanted to be held.
Yes.
And to kind of like take care of their needs.
There was more of an intuition going on with the moms to, you know, reach out and just feel what their children need.
Right, exactly.
Wow,
and it's the same thing with people who are secure. They, first of all, they take it upon themselves to, they know that their partner's well-being is their well-being.
Mm-hmm.
They have an intuition, they mm-hmm. intuitively know this.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that if their partner's going to be happy, they're going to be happy.
Mm,
and
exactly.
They take it upon themselves, they see it as their role to make sure that their partner is happy.
It's true, it really is. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And we're talking about a really interesting book. It's a great read, and it's very comfortable to understand. It's not in psychiatric verbal explanations. It's very easy to read, but it also is really a new way of looking at attachment styles and how to improve relationships or find the right person for you and how to improve that relationship based upon your own attachment style. My guest is psychiatrist, neuroscientist, Dr. Amir Levine. The book is called Attached, How to Get More Understanding About Who You Are. Here's a question that I was interested in is, you know, working with people.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have heard and studied a lot and work with people who have personality disorders.
Right.
And primarily we do have avoidance and we do have dependency. We also have those pesky axis two cluster Bs, you know,
right,
the narcissist and, of course, the person that's borderline and dramatic. And how do we distinguish between personality disorders and attachment styles, or do they sort of commingle sometimes?
Oh, I'm glad you asked this question because we get that often from other people. And the beauty about attachment is that it's really the whole science of attachment
mm-hmm.
didn't come from the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really about any, it never actually, all these attachment styles,
mm-hmm.
they're not, we're not talking about psychopathology at all.
Right.
Like each and every one of us has a certain attachment style.
Yes.
And most of us don't have a mental illness.
Right.
And these personality disorders are mental illness. And so,
right.
And it's really more, it's like there was an advantage in evolution to have variability in the way that we attach.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that, like, it's better, it's good to have the secures, but it's also good to have some people who are going to be anxious because then they may actually, if in situations when there's a lot of insecurity in the world and things that they have a heightened sense of responsibility, they can sort of spot things on and protect the human species from extinction.
Yep.
And when the avoidant, if there's a lot of like catastrophe around and some bad things happen, they can just like keep on going. and get over other people very quickly and just move on.
Yes.
And you need that sometimes too. So it's not really about any pathology. And it's okay to have all of the different attachment styles. The question is more, and as you know, a lot of these personality disorders are not that common in the population, whereas these attachment styles are very prevalent. I said 55% are secure, about 20% are anxious, and about 25% are avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about mental illness here at all.
Right. Listen, we do have a new email that just came in from Robin, and it looks like it says San Diego here. She said, Dr. Levine, at what point do you suggest we give up on someone? Oh, boy. You seem so positive about people being able to work out their relationship problems if they understand attachment styles, but I'm so tired of giving all the time in my relationship and never getting.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's
boy.
A tough question.
Oh, boy.
Because, first of all, I mean, I think it's really, that's why actually we devote a whole half of the book to try to sort of teach people how to become more secure.
Yes.
And I think even before giving up on someone, really looking at the book and trying to understand the different attachment styles and what it means,
mm-hmm.
it can really transform a relationship.
Yes.
Because you'll be surprised how... because what people don't understand is that attachment, that all of our relationships, it's basically a dyadic process. It's not I do this and there I'm here and they're there.
Right.
It's something that happens in the space between two people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have the power to change that. And by changing some of your attitudes, some of your beliefs, you can change some of the way that the other person responds back to you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so I think there's really, I think learning the language of attachment can be very, very helpful, especially for someone like Robin who talks about, I mean, as I said, you see, you can hear the pain, like there's the, mm-hmm. the pain of rejection of and of like and the frustration of not being able to get the closeness that you want.
Right, right.
But there's ways of working with that. And one of the ways, first of all, is really trying to understand also what we bring in, like we have to sort of find out what we bring to the plate,
right.
what we bring into this relationship and how we can change our ways to become more secure. And you'll be surprised how effective it can be.
Great answer. And Robin, thank you so much for emailing us. She just put a little PS and it said, how can I get your book? So we'll be giving that email address out. Why don't we do that right now? And then we'll do it at the end of the show as well.
Sure. I mean, you can go to attachedthebook.com.
There you go.
And then you can also take a quiz there about what your attachment style is and start to understand. And then you can get the book from there. You can buy. There's a link to buy the book.
It's a great book, by the way. Dr. Levine, what are some of the 5 secure principles I'm reading here? Because I read the chapter and I loved it. And these were so enlightening for me.
Oh, I know. I said to myself, I need to sort of put it on my refrigerator door, so I will sort of like see it all the time and remember.
I'm saying I'm using these. I'm sorry. This is it. What are the 5 secure principles for resolving conflict?
So I think, I mean, even before that, I don't know. I mean, I don't remember if that's there, but it should be there.
Yep.
It's like that. First of all, is the understanding that my partner's well-being is my well-being.
Yes.
Some people say, like, happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
Because once you know that, and that's people who are secure, see, it's almost like an axiom for them. They seem to know that intuitively.
Right.
So if you're approaching a conflict from that place, that your partner's well-being is your well-being, it's much easier to basically give up on stuff that seems very important to you, because you know that actually if you're giving something, you're getting something right back.
Yes, yes.
So that's one of the major things that is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So once you have that like in place, once you really understand that, and I'm not just talking, this is not a euphemism, it's really, really, it's true. We're like one physiological unit, because mm-hmm. if your partner really controls your blood pressure, your heart rate. So if they're upset, you're going to be upset. So you know that you're one unit, so it's better. Often better to give than to receive in that respect.
Yes.
So once you know that, you can move on to other ways of sort of dealing with relationships.
Yes.
So what they do is they also, people who are secure also play fair.
Yes.
Like if they're getting to an argument, then don't go, don't start with generalities. You always, or it's your fault, or you're never, stuff like that. They don't say you never, you always.
That's right.
Because it's very hurtful and it's not helpful at all.
No, it's not.
They become very much more specific. It's like, I got really upset when you, I don't know, didn't introduce me to this and that person.
That's
instead of like, you always ignore me, you don't want to be, like,
no,
you know.
It's the I statements rather than the you.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that they do. And then also they don't play games and they really know how to communicate with their feelings.
Right.
And to also listen and be sure that they're doing it at the right time with you. That they're not sort of like they're doing it in the place where you actually understand and actually take in what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. So that's, in other words, it's a moment in time where you can actually focus with that person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because sometimes when the emotions are running high and things are so, it's better to just wait.
Yes, exactly. You need to just count to 10 or leave, walk away, have some downtime, let the dust settle. Come back and then you're a little calmer to talk about
that's it. That's our biggest, probably, it's easier said than done.
It is.
The one advice that we have for people who are anxious
is
wait before you react.
Right.
And then after you waited for a little time, after you waited for a while, then wait longer.
Yeah, there you go.
And then sometimes if you waited long enough, it's not even going to be an issue. You're not even going to want to raise it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. It's sort of that momentary, adrenaline or, you know, anxious feeling of wanting to get things out and just that instinct of fight or flight, you know, comes up and you want to just work this thing out, but you just want to blast somebody. Not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Yeah, you're not in a good place when you're doing that, and you're not going to be able to talk to the other person in a way that you can see him. You can only see yourself and your upsetness and your anger, and that's not a good place to be in a relationship.
And so many people do it. So many people who have unhealthy relationships.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, you know, people in relationships, you know the most sensitive stuff about your partner. And the other thing that people do in relationships is that they say things that they regret later on.
Oh, yeah.
And they really hurt the other partner by sort of really bringing up the most vulnerable areas. They really want to hurt someone back because they're very hurt.
Yes.
And that's very, very damaging to a relationship.
Really is. There are many psychologists who say women have really long memories.
I know, and they always like. But the thing is, you know what happens then? Oftentimes, when they decide, okay, I want to break up or something like this, all of a sudden they don't remember the bad things. They only remember the good things. So these memories can play tricks on us.
Yes, they can. They're very selective.
Right, exactly.
Remember,
and so we have to remember, even when we see the worst things, that they're also good things, too.
Well, that's a great way of looking at it. It certainly is. So the 5 secure principles for resolving conflict, and if people would really read that and follow through and think about the way they react when there is conflict, I think there would be a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists out of business, huh?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yes. We can actually, if people have better relationships, you know, it's such a, as I was saying before, people think it's not just about the relationship itself. It really changes who we are if we're in a good relationship. You remember that story that I told you about the child that plays with the toys and all that, and then if his mother goes away, he stops playing with the toys until she comes back.
Right.
But as adults, we don't play with toys, but it's the exploratory drive that we have. And so if we feel secure, if we have a secure base with our partner, so we don't play with toys, but we'll work better, we'll be more creative, we'll be able to sort of take on the world much, much better, be much more successful. So it's not just even about the quality of the relationship. I mean, it's also just about what we can do in the world and, and the kind of support that we get. It's very, very important to find the right person.
It really is important, but if you have been, you know, sort of, I guess, stuck in a relationship, sort of sounds like Robin talked about a little earlier when she emailed us. If you're stuck, then you need to sort of figure out how you want to possibly try to resolve it and understand this individual, like as she was with an avoidant person, it sounded like. And,
right. I mean, it's hard to tell, yeah. but I mean, the very first step is
yeah.
to like use, there's a whole science
yeah.
of how we behave in romantic relationships
yeah.
and to kind of take that and use that science to, for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for, because you know, attachment is such a huge force in our life.
Oh yeah.
And oftentimes we don't have a choice. It
yeah.
really controls us. We try to sort of say, okay, I'm not going to be with this person. I'm not going to say this thing. And you end up saying it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we really wanted in this book is for people to understand what attachment is about
mm-hmm.
and to be able to use that force for them rather than it working against them.
Gosh, that's so true. It makes so much sense. Why do you say that folks who have that anxious attachment style
mm-hmm.
get the most from understanding how that attachment system works? Why would they get the most? It seems like they would be the most difficult or fearful.
Well, I think actually, I think both anxious and avoidant. I think anybody can get a lot, but I think for someone anxious,
mm-hmm.
Especially reading the book, I think because even we saw it in the question today that we had from Melissa, I think,
mm-hmm.
because she was talking about
yeah.
what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me.
Right?
People sort of go through this through life really feeling that. There's something really wrong with them.
Right.
And we really wanted to convey the message that there's really nothing wrong with them. They have
right.
an anxious attachment style. And what's really the thing that's really the worst is that if they get together with someone who's not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had so many good experiences with people who've been in an anxious avoidant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into a relationship with someone secure. And they tell us their life, it's like being on a different planet.
Yep.
And they transform and they become different people.
They sure
and they even forget that they ever thought there was something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I give you the example of the texting and the going to the airport sort of to really
right.
give you that understanding of how different it can be for someone anxious if he's with someone who takes care of them.
Right.
And you can multiply that one scenario like 10,000 times and you get a sense of how their life is going to be different.
Yes.
So I think for someone who's anxious to really have a good understanding of that, and that there's nothing wrong with them. We also like to say that you're only as needy as your unmet needs.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because if your needs are being met, and that's something that we also like to tell people
yes.
who are avoidant, usually like the guy, like the girl or the guy who just like hit ignore if their partner is calling them.
Yes.
We say, if you take care, the whole idea is that if your attachment needs are being fulfilled, you're not going to be needy at all, because when it's like that child, he's not going to be clinging to his mother all the time in a full room of toys. When he feels secure, he goes out into the world and plays
right.
with the toys.
That's right.
But he needs to feel secure. It's the same thing with us adults. If you give the person that security, and it doesn't take a lot, texting someone takes only 2 seconds, really.
Yes.
But if they feel secure, they're not going to be calling you all the time, making sure that you're okay. They're going to be busy working, raising kids.
That's right.
Like the child playing with the toys, going out into the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Their children will be more secure as well, I'm sure.
Oh, I think so too, yes.
Mm-hmm. They pass that style along because they know what they need and they know what they always received.
Right, so. And they're much more... they're calmer also raising their kids.
That's
obviously.
Right. Oh, that's right. How can listeners get in touch with you and get a hold of your book, Dr. Levine?
So as you said before, they can go to the book's website, which mm-hmm. is attachedthebook.com. It's all one word.
Yep.
And then they can get the book is also available on Amazon and every like all the usual places.
Mm-hmm.
They can also send us emails through our website, attachedthebook.com.
Great.
It's not a problem, yeah.
Great. And the book is called Attached, The New Science. It is science, folks, of adult attachment and how it can help you find and keep love, offering a wealth of advice on how to navigate relationships a little more wisely, insightful look at the science behind love, and kind of a roadmap for building stronger, more fulfilling connections with people. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. Levine. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Been a lot of fun talking with you. Take good care.
Yes, thank you.
I look forward to reading your next book.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks
All
a lot.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Good care and thank you. All right. If you'd like to pick up the book, again, attachedthebook.com. That is the name of the email address that you can hit up and you're good to go. Website, of course. We're out of time. Wow, what a great show this has been. This is Dr. Michelle, and I hope you've enjoyed being on the couch with me today. You can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up. And as I always do say, take good care of yourself first, And then you'll be great for other people. See how that works? Sort of a secure attachment style. All right. Thanks for joining. And again, you can write me at docmichelle@aol.com. Just link on to the webpage here on the couch and contact me as well on my website. Have a great day. Bye-bye.